All right, let's stand. And I would just like you to turn around for a moment and just look out. Look at the gorgeous day that God has made. And those mountains that are strong, those mountains that are mostly made of rock, would you say that's true? But there is no rock like our God. And let's sing that to Him.
Is this on so that God can hear me? Or I don't think He needs it. Father, we thank You, Lord, for everything that You provide for us. You give us our food, our clothing, our shelter. Everything comes from You. And we ask You now to bless this offering, because we give back to You just a pittance of what You provide for us. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to lead us in the worship song, "Oh How He Loves You and Me." Oh how He loves you and me. Oh how He loves you and me. He gave His life, what more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you. Jesus to Calvary did go, His love for mankind to show. What He did there brought hope from how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Heavenly Father, we present this offering to You, Lord God, and we thank You and praise You, Lord God, that You are the God who loves us so much. We thank You and praise You for Your blessings. And Lord, I ask and pray that each one is blessed totally by You in their loving obedience to You with their tithes and offerings. And I thank You and praise You, Lord God, that these are now Yours to be used in ways that are well-pleasing to You, glorifying You, Lord God, as You know that Pathway of Hope wants to be a church here that is a light to this community and beyond. So, Lord, we thank You and praise You, Lord. And I thank You that even 10% of this goes to the tithes and offerings, goes to missions around the world. We truly thank You and praise You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to close your eyes right now. And I would like you to,
I would like you to
can
open your hands and allow, I would like you to receive,
sorry. Okay, I'd like you to receive, sorry. And the reason I stayed on this is because I'm going to sing. So I want you to just close your eyes and receive.
Spirit of the living God, fresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us.
This is a special time, isn't it? The Christmas season, what we're celebrating, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've been going through the book, The Irresistible Church, and this is about really us being irresistible to God and the blessings as we prayed over the offerings. And one of those blessings is the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to go over trait number 9, choose to love. I want to read to you from Luke chapter 1. And this is where Jesus, about the birth of Jesus, about the birth of John before Jesus. And so in Luke chapter 1, I'm going to go to verse 13, and we remember that this is John is being announced that he's going to be born, right? So he is being announced to Zacharias when he is in the temple, and Gabriel comes to him and speaks to him. And remember, Zacharias and Elizabeth are very older in their years. They have, she thought, man, I'm not going to be able to have a child. But did they give up on loving God and serving him? No. They were faithful and loving and serving God, even in the midst of heartache and heartbreak, because it was a much of a scorn for a woman to not have a child and for a man. And so here they're promised in their older age. And the angel comes, and in verse 13 it says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him, the Lord, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Then we go on, and then in verse 25, we see that Elizabeth was conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months. And then in verse 25, it says, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me and has taken away my reproach among people." She received a blessing. And then we go on to see that she is now in her 6th month, and, you know, Elizabeth is in her 6th month of being pregnant. And we go on to verse 29, and we see that the angel comes to visit Mary. And in verse 30, he says, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Is that a blessing to her? It was a blessing to Elizabeth to hear that, and was a blessing to Mary. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Like we were singing. And then Mary said to the angel, "Well, how can this be, since I do not know a man?" And then the angel continues in verse 35. He talks to her. Well, he wasn't saying verse 35. He continues to talk to her. And he says, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also,
that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. And then we go on in verse 42, and then she spoke out loud with a voice and said to Mary, when Elizabeth says this to Mary, when she sees her, she comes to visit her cousin, and she says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Why? She goes on in verse 45, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Mary heard about the promised Messiah. So did Elizabeth. And they were both highly favored to bring these special sons into the world that God chose them to do. One in older age, one not married and very young. For nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing. And then there's the song of Mary in her heart, and she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And then John the Baptist is born. And finally, because of doubt, Zechariah was not able to speak until it was time to name John. And he didn't name him his name. He named him the name that God told him to name. And people were in awe, and they took this and pondered on it. But they were remembering. He chose a name totally not the way their culture did things, but it was the way God told him to do it. And then Zechariah prophesies, and he says in verse 68, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him with out fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Then we go on to Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone, to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the story of love. God's love to us, centered totally on love. God chose to love us. It wasn't because of us loving him. It was because he chose to love us, as we see in 1 John 4. This is why he chose his son to leave heaven and come in human form, fully God, fully man, so that he could be raised up, and then at his time, he died on the cross at Calvary for each and every one's sins, all mankind's sins. But God provided a way, just as Jesus was born, just as John the Baptist was born. God provided a way for us to be born again. And that is in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Yes, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, when we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it is new. It is new every day because his mercies are new every morning. So that love we receive each and every day. See, I love the way that the names in this story of love are also specially picked. Elizabeth means God's promise, or also it means my God is generous. His love. Mary means a wise woman. She was wise because she believed in what God had said. She believed in those promises, even though it looked impossible. She believed when she was spoken to. When we are spoken to by the love letter to us, we need to believe. She believed the scripture she had heard in those days. Did she feel worthy to receive this love? No. But she received it. She believed it. She received it. And she was willing to pay the price to carry the Son into the world. It was not an easy price. But she did it. She was a wise woman, as we need to be wise. John the Baptist. It says, God has been gracious. Wow. God had been gracious by bringing him into the world to help prepare the way of the Lord. And then Zechariah. Zechariah means God has remembered. See, God has remembered each and every one of us. This is the time and the season that we remember to really, truly choose to love. Because just as God gave us a gift, we choose to give the gift to others. That gift is the fullness of everything that he has. The gift of salvation. the gift of everything that God has, the gift of all of these promises are ours, over 3,000. The gift of the strength, the gift of the Holy Spirit with us, helping us, the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the soon coming King, our hope, our eternal hope, the gift that keeps on giving. This is our gift. This is the precious gift of love that we have been given when we remember this story. Because the power of the Word is right there, wrapped in this child. You see over there, I have somebody sent an email, and Paul said that, and it says a king-sized bed, a manger. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, we can sleep on that king-sized bed, resting on our King. That is the best bed ever to rest on, with the heaviness and the weight of the world and what's going on. There is a lot going on in this world, but we have a God who has shown us love. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." There are religions already preaching that Jesus came. And this is the special time of the year that we are celebrating the love of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. It goes on in verse 4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because you know who is in you. And who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world in a king-sized bed, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He made that atoning sacrifice offered to God to quiet God's wrath and to render him gracious and merciful to us sinners. He is ready to forgive our sins and bestow blessings upon us because of that propitiation for our sins through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, the precious Holy Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. This love we are going to need desperately in this time, because there is going to be much fear in the world. There is already much fear going on in the world. There is going to be much more. This is why we need to be in him, abiding in him, who is love, because this is going to be our source of strength and our power to continue on to love, to continue on to love the unlovable until God has worked in them to be help them to become lovable. But that can only come from spending time with him, to be hungry for him, to be hungry for his love, to meditate, to pray, and to be in his word that is our food. This is love. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. We can live because of him. We need to live because of him to help others to live for him, to know him. But we have to do it with love. And with those unlovable people, that takes a lot of forgiveness. And we can only get that through the one who forgave us. But we need to forgive and forgive and forgive and respond with love and more love and more love. This only comes from him, that perfect love. That perfect love that we can continue to love no matter how many times the unlovable, those who have hurt us, family and friends, neighbors, co-workers, people you just run into, we need to remember that we need to concentrate on loving no matter what. Jesus did. But then we've got Galatians 3:26. You are sons of God in Christ Jesus. You are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Do you remember what we saw in Luke? Do you remember what was said in verse 54 and 55? He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. See, we are his, and we have the seed. We have the promises. They are ours. We are remembering that we are joint heirs. We are royalty. And we have that power and authority of his name to go out and claim this over the lives of those that we love. Claim the power of this word over our lives. This is love. And we need to choose to believe it. We need to choose to have, remember, that mustard seed faith. Because it's not based on our faith. The power of salvation, the power of his love, the power of his word, that is not based on our faith. That is based on his faith. It just takes a mustard seed. And his faith catches on to that mustard seed faith. And that is the power that we need to be able to walk out boldly and to love everybody, those who are saved, those who are not saved, those who are saved that need a little tender, loving help. Because God's still working on them. Not one of us is perfect yet. This is love. Matthew 22:35-40 and Mark 12:28-31. Remember the greatest commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength is the way that it says it in Mark 12. But then I love it that Matthew, he talks about on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. Everything that Moses taught us and all the prophets, this precious holy word hangs on love. His love for us, his love in us, and his love through us to others. This is love. This is the greatest gift that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. And now abide faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. When we struggle with this love letter, that is when we cry out like that man did, that father over his son. And he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. One of the Amplified says, help my weakness of faith. The Common English Bible says, I have faith, but help my lack of faith. I have that mustard seed faith, but help my lack of faith. And then the New Century Version says, I do believe. Help me to believe more, because that's this love, and that's this love that we are going to need to go out in this world and be an influence, to be a light to others in the midst of the challenging times. We need to remember also to have that forgiveness of prayer. In our prayer life, we need to constantly have forgiveness. That needs to be in our heart, because that is love. It is full of forgiveness, just like he forgave us. How could we judge anybody else? He forgave us and died on the cross for us. And we have that promise about salvation forever because we have received what he has given us. And we need to extend that love to others, and including the unlovable. Mark chapter 11. In verse 22, it says, have faith in God. But the Douay rhymes, and there's a lot of theological debate over it. And if you go back to the original, the Greek and the Aramaic, it really means have the faith of God. So Pastor Karen's paraphrased, have faith in the faith of God. Because it just takes this mustard seed faith. And then it goes on in verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. But he goes on to emphasize forgiveness. Forgiveness
is a very important thing. In the beginning was the Word, as John 1 says. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. This is what we have. This is our love. See, we at Pathway of Hope, our house of prayer, healings and salvation center. This is what God has called us to, and this comes because of His love and His loving assignment on each of one of us, just as He had a loving assignment for Mary and a loving assignment for Elizabeth. Now, we need to remember that also. God has called us, and it says, we will glorify God. We, all of us, will glorify God as we love, trust, and obey Him in helping the blind to see, to know the truth, His truth, setting the captives free by being a light for Him in this community. But we can only be that light because of His love in us, and we abide in Him, and He abides in us. We are choosing to be daily in His presence, daily having His love be a part of us. Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, it says, He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. So here we are, the royal family. We need to remember what this blood did for each and every one of us. It was dipped in for each and every one of us, especially for us. See, we can be love to others. See, we need to be transparent. And this love pours into us daily through prayer, through His Word. And we constantly are filled by the new mercies every morning, by what He has for us to do. But if we keep that love, people may see that we love Him and we've received salvation, but we don't want to share it with others. That is not God's intention. God has given us assignment. We, each one of us, are to be a Mary, are to be an Elizabeth. We are to be an Elizabeth because we need to prepare the Lord when the Lord returns. And we are to be a Mary because we are all pregnant with the salvation and the fullness of what Jesus did for us. So we need to continuously let that pour in and pour out onto the lives of others. Even those who are saved, because we all need encouragement by what this blood has done for each one of us. And we need to remember that we all need to have that power, because that power and that source only comes from the WAD, the Word. And sometimes we need to help somebody along because they need that stick to help them with that Word. This is the power that gave to us, that blood that was shed on the cross. But that blood only came when the child came. See, we all need to be, once again, the Elizabeth and the Mary. Sometimes that journey is not easy to tell Jesus to others, taking Him to others. But the reward is great because they will receive that gift of love. They will be born again. We need to be excited as this mother is. We need to be pregnant constantly with His love. Constantly pregnant with His love. Able to pour it out onto others so they in turn can be pregnant with His love and pour it out into others. But we need to allow that to keep flowing into us
not putting a block on it. And gentlemen, you can be pregnant too. Do you remember this movie? Just as we can be sons of God as women, you can be pregnant. God has an assignment. You can be a Mary, and you can be an Elizabeth too. We all can be pregnant with the love of Jesus, that precious gift, continuously, and being able to pull that fullness onto others because of the blood that was shed for each and every one of us. This is love. We're going to have the Lord's Supper right now, because this is a time that I wanted to stress that not only to remember what that love did, that precious gift, but also that forgiveness. So as they get the Lord's Supper prepared, I want to go over what we need to remember. And so I'm going to go from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17. And this is where the Apostle Paul is talking to them, and he's saying, therefore, I need you that as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, that death wouldn't have come unless we received the gift that Jesus was born, and then he died for us. And then he goes on to say in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So we need to remember to be fessed up. There have been times when I haven't taken the Lord's Supper because I knew my heart wasn't right. I knew I was needing to work on things to make sure that I had that forgiveness. I wanted to, but I knew I was still holding some resentment or some bitterness, and I wasn't totally there yet. And I needed to work some things out. So I refused to take the Lord's Supper. There have been times in my life I have done that. And I am recommending to you, if you are there, it's okay. We are not, out of love, going to judge one another. Instead, we are going to pray for one another so that the next time you can take the Lord's Supper freely. But right now, I want us to just take a moment to cleanse our hearts. To ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything that I need to repent of? Is there anything I've been holding against somebody that I need to forgive? Anything, anything at all. We need to make sure that we are there, totally humble, everything that we know of, that we have forgiven and we have asked for forgiveness. Let us take a moment of prayer. As she passes out the bread, the elements, thank you, and the juice, which represents the blood, and the bread represents the body. I'm going to sing again, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. You can sing with me.
Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. One more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go, his love for mankind to show. What he did there brought hope from despair.
The Apostle Paul in verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Let us partake." And then, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, my love for you." Thank you, Lord. We praise you and thank you. I'm going to pray over each and every one of you. And I want you to receive this. I want you to open up your hands again and receive this blessing upon you, because it is his love, the power of his word, speaking to you, each one of us. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, for whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." As Jude verse 2 says, "May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you." I would like you to keep your eyes closed, and I want you to receive this.
Spirit of the living God, move among us all. Make us one in heart and mind. Make us one in love.
We're going to do a worship song, and in this time, it's going to be the power of prayer. We're going to go, because of his love, we're going to go to the throne room with the power of prayer. And so we are going to have the altar ministry over here, and I want you to use this, to utilize this, because there's power in prayer. And our wonderful prayer warriors at the prayer altar ministry will be claiming that authority that this blood shed for you and the body that was broken for you, the power that he is our divine healer. He is a great physician. He is the one who knows everything and has all of it in his hands. That is why we can rest on his king-size bed.